Hey friends, it's Corey Robinson with NBC Sports. Let's talk some story. A few conversations ago on one of our walks, I brought up this concept, the Eastern Conference and the NBA, being confusing. And it is. It's very confusing. In fact, it bewilders me. I don't understand it. And we're going to talk about the Miami Heat, but first and foremost, let's just do a watercolor of the Eastern Conference, because at times it's almost like the paint is bleeding into each other, right? It's like, is this a muddied picture? Is this actually art? is it supposed to look like this? It's unclear, to be completely honest with you. So let's dive right in at the top. The defending champions of the NBA are the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis is playing at an MVP level. They basically ran the team back. They're not first in the Eastern Conference. And then you have the Brooklyn Nets, who are a super team. It's like having a comic book where you just have a whole bunch of superheroes all in the same team playing basketball together. Generally speaking, the end of that comic book should have some sort of trophy. We have yet to see that page in the book yet, largely due to this idea, which is simply just a lack of continuity. And I understand that the NBA, the past couple seasons, due to COVID, that every team has had to deal with that lack of continuity. But for some reason, it looks as though that issue is just magnified in Brooklyn. Perhaps it's being in one of the world's largest markets. Perhaps it's all the different dynamics of James Harden didn't sign the extension. Is he happy? There's all these rumors that Coach Steve Nash is addressing, that James Harden is addressing, that the Brooklyn fan base is nervous about. Then Kevin Durant's injured. Then Kyrie Irving can't play at home because of the vaccine mandate, but he can play on the road, but he just joined the team recently. All this, if you just put it all into some sort of soup, what would it look like? It's not number one in the Eastern Conference. Then you have the 76ers, who, I mean, from the end of last season in the playoffs to the beginning of this season through to the current moment in which you and I are on this walk, they don't have Ben Simmons. There's issues surrounding what exactly is going on in Philadelphia, because you have Joel Embiid playing at an MVP level, but they're not number one either. In fact, they're not even in the top three. Chicago was in the number one spot, which is surprising, by the way, but they were dethroned recently. And this brings me to the beginning of our conversation. By whom, my friends? And that team is none other than the Miami Heat, the new kings temporarily, potentially, perhaps permanently, of the Eastern Conference. But this is so interesting to me. It's interesting because the Heat have this ability to just rise in uncertain circumstances. I want to bring you back to the bubble. Do you remember when there was so much uncertainty in the NBA around the bubble, and there were a lot of questions of, well, who was going to make the most of an interrupted season that got shut down, and then a bubble environment where it's basically like an AAU tournament where everyone's living together in the same place. You see each other after the games by the pool, and it's kind of like this weird AAU vibe at Disney World nonetheless. Who would take advantage of that? Who would rise to the occasion? No fans. What does that environment look like? Well, the Heat did. The Heat went to the finals. They lost, but that Heat team, you would think about all the other teams in the Eastern Conference, most notably the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis. The Heat were able to rise to the top in an uncertain environment, and they got a trip to the finals. Now, in the wake of that, we thought, okay, well, you have Jimmy Butler as the franchise player, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, one of the most exciting young players in the game, Duncan Robinson, who, by the way, just went 7-for-11 from the three-point line in the win against the Knicks. So it's like, that's like a Steph Curry stat line. So you have all these players who are really putting it all together, plus a consistent coaching staff and consistent ownership, consistent GM. You think this is it. They didn't capitalize on that. They didn't build on that last season, but they made the most splashy offseason move, getting Kyle Lowry. And this is why the Heat is so interesting to me, because we are currently in another environment in which everything's really uncertain. With Omicron, with all the replacement players, everything that's going on, you have teams like the Lakers who are 500, you have the Nets who aren't number one, the Bucks who aren't number one, the 76ers who aren't number one, the Chicago Bulls were number one for a while, then the Heat could slowly but surely climb through the ranks, which is interesting. Then they now are number one. They have a game on the Bulls, and they're set to get Oladipo back. And like I said, in the offseason, they only got stronger getting Kyle Lowry, who, by the way, last season in Toronto averaged 17 and 7, 17.7 assists. So, yes, he's 35. He's still balling. then Oladipo is an interesting case study because we have not seen a healthy Oladipo in quite some time. And he's also been bouncing around the NBA. He played 19 games in the 2019-2020 season. Then he played for three different teams in the 2020-2021 season. 9 games for the Pacers, 20 games for the Rockets, and then 4 games for the Heat before he got injured again. So if he comes back next month, what kind of Heat team will we see? We will find out. I'm Corey Robinson with NBC Sports. I'd love to hear what you think. Please reach out to me on social media using the hashtag CoreyStory.